BFM 89.9, you just heard Jumbo and Henry Wu with Mongkok Madness here on The Pulse. Darren Offman with you this evening.
And right now, we're heading into a story about Warner Music Group partnering with an external investment house to create a rights buying fund. You know, for several years now, musicians relied heavily on revenue from selling physical albums, right? Revenue from touring and other means to put food on the table. But nowadays, with streaming services, one can't really rely solely on sales of CDs, cassettes, or vinyl records anymore like in the past. Which is why many would rely on touring to get revenue while promoting their latest album cycle. But even touring has been put on hold due to COVID, right? Pushing many older acts to do the once unthinkable act of selling their entire music catalog, aka selling the entire rights of your songs. That was definitely the trend since the pandemic, with some examples being Bruce Springsteen, $500 million for his entire catalog, Bob Dylan, $350 million, Stevie Nicks, $100 million, and most recently, Neil Diamond selling his catalog for a cool $300 million.
Big money, right? What was seen as a means to get by during the pandemic, but now it's slowly become a mainstay as song catalogs are slowly becoming the new emerging asset class for investors. This comes as the Wall Street Journal announced the new partnership between financial giant BlackRock and Warner Music Group, who have co-invested in a new $750 million USD fund that will focus on acquiring stakes in music copyrights.
Yeah, across the company's global portfolio, BlackRock currently has over $10 trillion USD worth of assets under their management. The company's recent acquisitions come in the form of 20 catalogs from newer acts like Bad Bunny and J Balvin, which cost the company $300 million USD. And that goes in line with their strategy of investing in emerging and modern day artists and different genres like Latin and hip hop. No funds have been spared to acquire stakes in songwriter catalogs too, like songwriter Stereotype, who has written for Bruno Mars. There's also Jesse Reyes, who has written for Dua Lipa, Calvin Harris, Sam Smith, as well as Skylar Stone Street, who wrote for Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber. This sees the trend slowly moving away from buying up catalogs of older evergreen artists that can no longer make music or tour anymore, and they're really buying up a lot of catalog from younger up-and-coming acts.
And it seems to be a two-way kind of deal, right? You know, sure, these investors want to get up and want to buy out the music catalogs, but also artists are actually willingly putting their art up for sale. And it's, I won't say it's a worrying trend, but it is a trend that the music industry will have to adapt to, right?
Just a few years ago, there were a few artists that were actually fighting for their catalog rights. They want to own it, but now musicians are freely selling it.
Right? So last year, we spoke to lawyer Fong Cheng Leong about the appeal of selling an entire music catalog and why it's such a trendy move for old and now young musicians. Here's a clip from that interview.
Transferring rights to your next of kin is not an easy task. Your next of kin may not know what is involved in managing a song catalog. They may also not know how to export it further to generate more income. And I think cash or property to your next of kin would be a more suitable choice for them in moving on. But there is more value in selling the entire rights than getting royalties. It takes years for royalties to accumulate, and songs like property may not generate income anymore after a few years. So for example, people stop playing the song and therefore you won't get any more royalties. So what would be a better choice for senior artists and musicians? Of course, selling your catalog would be a good choice because you immediately get the capital gains, whereas royalties will take years, as I said earlier, take years to accumulate. It's difficult to say whether what will happen in the future, whether this trend will move forward. Value of music has decreased, if not mistaken, because of technology advancement. There are more singers, more artists, more songwriters these days, and they have more channel of distribution. So in those days, they were just controlled by a few people.
That was lawyer Fong Cheng Leong sharing about the benefits of selling an entire music catalog. From the point of view of investors, songs are seen as assets that are comparable to gold or oil because when these songs become certified hits, it really becomes part of the fabric of our lives and something that will stay with you for a very long time, weaved into our memories, which makes the revenue from hits a very predictable and reliable asset for investors in good times and bad times, which is why they are investable like gold or oil.
It's a new currency, right? According to the experts, the cost for older catalog hits have risen slightly compared to the pre-pandemic levels, as they are now seen as safer bets as compared to your Ariana Grande's or J Balvin's, as they are really certified classics from an investor standpoint, a safe bet, if you will. But one thing's for sure, this is merely the beginning, and this year we're likely going to be seeing more acts, both young and old, looking to sell their music catalogs and, in the process, making a fortune. I guess artists these days rather do that than going on a world tour, right?
Yeah, why spend months on the road traveling to different countries when you can just get one whole big bag of money one shot?
250 million, just like that. Right here on The Pulse, we're going to be getting to a segment, a quickfire rapid news segment called By The Way, but first up, some new music.
Yeah, this one comes from producer and singer Grace Ives from New York. This is her latest single, it's called Loose, right here on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.